The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Today's gospel is really well known, and it's one that you will often heard referenced. Those familiar lines of, "Get behind me, Satan," and "Pick up your cross and follow me." Now, the "get behind me, Satan," I would say, is more often than not just used in silly ways, like if you offer Becky chocolate. But "pick up your cross and follow me," that line has been used to do some real damage, and it's been used to equate suffering with faithfulness. It's been used to perpetuate abuse as someone's cross to bear. Clergy have used this verse to counsel women to stay in abusive marriages. It was cited to enslaved people as a reason to accept abuse from those who enslaved them. This type of religious abuse, this misuse of Jesus' words, is in direct opposition of what he taught and what he called his disciples to do. Jesus' ministry focused on alleviating suffering, healing and comforting, and on lifting up those who have been pushed down. So what was Jesus actually talking about here with this "pick up your cross" language? Well, first we have to realize that these words cannot hold the same meaning for us as they did for Jesus and his followers. Because this cross, the cross was very specific. It was contemporary. It was political. It was a powerful part of their daily lives. The Roman Empire crucified thousands of people. It's estimated between 100,000 and 150,000 people were crucified by the Roman Empire. Historic writings tell of one specific incident where an estimated 6,000 men were crucified at one time. Crosses lined the roads for miles. Crucifixions were a public display of Rome's power. The gruesome threat of death to any who opposed them was used to keep the masses in line and maintain the status quo. Jesus and his followers lived under the shadow of this threat, lived with the daily reality of this violence. So the cross was a powerful image and very specific. I honestly tried really hard, and I could not think of a modern equivalent, not even something that came close. So here, Jesus has just announced to his disciples that his ministry will inevitably lead to his suffering and death, and that his commitment to faithfully teach and proclaim God's gospel, his commitment to continue revealing God's love with his ministry by speaking out and standing up for those who are being pushed down, this commitment to continue his work means that there is no avoiding the fact that Rome will have him killed. Jesus has just finished making this shocking announcement when he tells the crowds of people that if they want to be his followers, they should expect to pick up a cross themselves. See, this isn't a call to just tolerate suffering. This is a warning that the path Jesus is walking is a dangerous path. His unwavering commitment to God's way is in direct opposition to the abusive power of the Roman Empire. And anyone who chooses to follow him, anyone who chooses to live this way that speaks out against the abusive power of the empire, that lifts up the downtrodden, anyone who chooses obedience to God's life-changing call, God's life-changing call to love rather than accept the way things are, anyone who chooses this path is at risk. Risk of retribution from the powers that be. So see, the call to pick up your cross is very specific. and the abusive way it's been used by modern Christians to maintain that status quo and keep the oppressed in their place is the exact opposite of how it was intended. Jesus used this language to highlight the fact that committing to God's reign is threatening to those in power, and it carries real risk and danger. Jesus is telling the disciples that while it is inevitable that his ministry will lead to his death, he is not going to stop. And that is the amazingly good news in this passage. That is the gospel message I want to lift up today. The good news that God will not stop loving and caring for us, no matter the cost. The good news that God is all in when it comes to loving us and will not back down. And our gospel reading also carries the good news that we are invited to be part of this unstoppable love. We are invited to follow Jesus and to live lives that share God's love with others. Our first two readings remind us that this invitation includes not only our actions, but also the words that we speak. And I would add the words that we type. Isaiah reminds us that God empowers us to sustain the weary with a word. And James warns us of the very dangerous power that words can carry. Both of these texts make a very clear connection between our faith and the words that we use. I think this is such an important reminder for us today, right now, and especially in the next few weeks, months ahead of us, with ugly political rhetoric and online detachment, right, that separates the people we're speaking to and the words that we're saying. There's this distance that allows for a lack of accountability for our words, but also this wide-reaching impact where our words can affect people we might not ever even meet. Talk about powerful. James uses lots of imagery and hyperbole, but the bottom line is that he cautions followers of Jesus to hold their tongue, not as a call to silence, but a call to speak faithfully, to speak truth, and offer hope. So as followers of Jesus, we ask ourselves, are the words we use words of life or words of destruction? We do not live under threat of crucifixion. But it remains true that the call to discipleship is not an easy road. Caring for others can be difficult. Like I mentioned in the announcement, so many people this week have done difficult things following the Kennedy's family car accident. They've taken on extra work, restless or sleepless nights. They've carried burdens in addition to their own for the sake of sharing God's love and caring for their neighbor. That is following the path of Jesus, even when it's hard. Living in a country where we are free to practice our religion, we are not at risk of persecution for our faith. Yet there are times where we might receive pushback from the powers that be when we stand up for the sake of those who are being discriminated against, when we speak out against hatred or the mistreatment of others. There are even times where we might be at risk. But more often, the burden we carry for our faith is simply the hard work of loving one another. It's not easy. Sometimes it can be downright painful. But in sharing God's love with our words and our actions, in helping to build up a community of love, we are part of a rich and rewarding life. It really is in all the big, medium, and small ways that we share God's love. That is how we live out our discipleship. That is how we follow Jesus. In doing that, we get to help build up God's reign here on earth and experience the life-changing love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.